Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, everyone. It's Charmaine Hammond again with another episode of Positive Radio. I love talking about the lessons that animals can teach us, and every day I get more and more inspired about how animals teach us about kindness and empathy and, you know, for me, being a better person. That's one of the greatest things our dogs ever taught us. And today on the show, we've got Dr. Mark Beckhoff. He is the author of so many books, I can't even list them all. He recently wrote The Emotional Lives of Animals, but his new book, you're going to love this title, Why Dogs Hump and Bees Get Depressed, The Fascinating Science of Animal Intelligence, Emotion, Friendship, and Conservation. Dr. Mark Beckhoff is a professor of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, and he has worked alongside leading writers and activists, including Jane Goodall, you've heard her name, Peter Singer, PETA, and who is the co-founder, Ingrid Newkirk, and he lives in Boulder, Colorado. He has written so many articles and books around the beautiful lessons the animals can teach us. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mark Beckhoff.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here, and hello to all your wonderful listeners.
Oh, I really appreciate you being here. I was on the net last night watching some of the videos about you and the work that you've done, and I love the message that you're bringing out through your work, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this new book really was written for the public, if you will. The essays come from my Psychology Today blog. They've been revised. They've been updated. They're written for, you know, non-researchers, but yeah, I always like to stress there's really good science behind it, and so for the people who want to know the references, there's, you know, there's 50 or 60 pages of detailed references. So, we're making great headway now into the minds and the hearts of other animals.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a title. When I saw the email from your publicist come through and the title of the book is in the email, I thought, of course this is a yes to get Dr. Mark Beckhoff on the radio show with a title like that, Why Dogs Hump and Bees Get Depressed. You know, one of the things I noticed, Mark, too, in your bio is that you talk about the book being filled with incredible, incredible stories about empathy and grief and love so that we can really observe in both the wild and domestic animals all these lessons that they have to offer. What are some of the stories about that are in the book?
Oh, God, there's a lot. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stories on dogs because we know them the best. They're our best friends. And, you know, because we're such good friends with dogs, I feel we owe them some very special consideration in how we treat them.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that article about how we can experimentally make bees depressed and then take them out of their depression. And their responses neuroanatomically and neurochemically are the same as humans. When we get depressed, the stories about tool-using birds, tool-using dogs, tool-using dingoes, and my stories about fish, we're discovering that fish are just not these big blobs of protein for consumption, but they're really smart. And once again, it's known now that fish process pain-killing morphine in the same way that we do. And finally, I talk about the big issues that are really close to my heart on compassionate conservation and the importance of factoring in animal sentience into our decisions about, you know, how we treat them and their homes. So it's a very broad book. And frankly, I'm really happy with the way it came out in terms of the essays really holding together since they were written, you know, at different times over 3 years.
Wow. Well, and I love that it covers so many different animals in our world. One of the pieces that I was reading about that really caught my attention, and I'd love for you to share this with our listeners, is that you're also learning about post-traumatic stress disorder in dogs that are serving alongside soldiers and in combat. What are you learning about that, and what do we need to know?
Well, you know, dogs are social catalysts. People like to say that they are unconditional lovers, and I like to say that they're almost unconditional lovers, and I actually really mean that. I think it really does an injustice to dogs when we say that they're unconditional lovers and they just love everyone. Excuse me. They make choices, and all the dogs I've lived with, you know, would be like, you know, maybe 99% lovers, but my dogs were also discriminating, and in fact, I would have done well on a number of occasions to follow their hesitancy about people. The work that the soldiers that I did, and you know, others are doing, really is focused on the niceness of dogs, their empathy, mm-hmm. and it was heart-wrenching. It broke my heart. These were 40 Americans, all of whom had gone off to Iraq and Afghanistan, physically and emotionally, psychologically stable. They all came back with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and many came back with physical injuries, and their dogs were their best friends. You know, I don't know, it just broke my heart to see them come back like this. There was one guy who suffered really severe PTSD and shell shock, and because every time he heard a loud noise, he would, you know, as he put it, he'd go crazy. His family was going to leave him. They got a dog. And, of course, the dog was trained that every time this guy showed a certain behavior pattern to lean into him. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, that's just abusive for the dog. You're using the dog. Uh-uh. I saw these dogs. You know, the one thing is it's a reciprocal relationship. And the dog was not mistreated. In fact, some of the dogs I met had better lives than the dogs who live with some of my friends. So, you know, it just centers on playing off of that positive emotion and positive feelings that dogs give.
Yes. You know, we had the opportunity, Toby, Chesapeake Bay Retriever, we had him trained as a therapy dog, and I couldn't agree more the impact that animals can have on human healing. I remember going into the hospital one day, and he worked in a mental health facility with adults, and there was a patient who had been there a long time and was not doing well emotionally, and the nurses and doctors were just struggling to bring this gentleman out of his depression and just start engaging with people. And it was a really serious situation, and in comes Toby on his Wednesday with the red bandana and his little therapy vest and walks over to the gentleman like he had done every other Wednesday for 4 years, put his head in the gentleman's lap and just looked at him. And, you know, the whole energy in the room changed, and it was like this guy came to life again. And you know, I think Toby knew he had done something important, and he just went about his work. And I also remember thinking how tiring this was for him, though. I didn't notice this initially. And then my husband said, gee, Charmaine, he's exhausted when he gets home. You know, he has this big, long nap. And so I know that the work they do is so important. And we really made that part of our plan with Toby to give him all the downtime he needed, and then he rejuvenated again. So, you know, the gift they give is incredible. And then we
And I think your observation is so keen because, yeah, I mean, these dogs have feelings. You know, they used to say that the dogs who were trained to find bodies, if you will, in after 9/11 in America, they got sad, they got lethargic, depressed, it seemed like, when they weren't finding bodies. And this isn't because, you know, they were sadists. It was because they were trained to help, and they had certain protocols that they followed. And I think what you're saying is really so interesting, you know, in terms of the fact that it is exhausting for the dogs. It's also enriching for the dogs. And when my dog would help people along, sometimes we'd meet homeless people around Boulder, it would fatigue him, you know, mentally. I think he felt sorry for them, you know, I don't know. He showed them some very special love and empathy, but that's enriching for dogs. It's not, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like if you or I I have been teaching in the Boulder County Jail for decades, and when I come out of those classes, I'm exhausted, and I feel badly that the guys are there, and I try to give them all the energy I have. So I just think that because of our very long-term and close relationship with dogs, we should be incorporating them into our lives. I don't like to say we should be using them, mm-hmm. but, you know, we should be incorporating them into our lives.
Yes. One of the other elements in the book, Mark, that I thought was just so interesting is you talk about what we should be learning from our animals. What else do you think is really important for the listeners to learn about what we can learn from these incredible animals on our planet?
Well, I think what we can learn is a lot about ourselves. You know, I always say we suffer the indignities to which we subject other animals, but we also benefit very positively by treating them well. I mean, there's been studies done that will tell you that if you ask people how they feel after doing something good for a non-human animal or their habitat, they feel really good about it. And I think one of the messages, a main message in my book, is that there is this strong, reciprocal, tight bond between ourselves and other animals. Just not, you know, not only just companion dogs and cats, but many other animals, and that we really should honor who they are. And by treating them, and you know, well, and trying to exist peacefully with them, to coexist peacefully with them, I like to say we rewild our hearts. In fact, I have a book coming out next year called Rewilding Our Hearts, and it's kind of like undoing the unwilding that education and our busy days, you know, foster on us. So, you know, the reason I'm a hopeful optimist is because I see wonderful people all over the world doing the work, and I feel like I'm a social catalyst. I'm just putting it out there, you know. I'm showing them what we know about other animals, and I'm showing people how our lives, as well as their lives, can benefit by this peaceful coexistence.
I couldn't agree more. One of the memories I have of taking Toby into schools, when our book came out about Toby, we would go into schools and do presentations, and we ran into a child that I think it would have been about 4 years ago that was in a presentation, and the child is still talking about meeting Toby and the message of kindness. And I thought, isn't it incredible how we can, as adults and as humans, be teaching children these messages about character development and being a good person and being kind and respectful to all species, including animals. And yet she hears the story of a dog and gets to meet this animal and see this dog demonstrating kindness and acceptance, and the message is just kind of ingrained into her. And I get really excited when I look around the world and see so many people helping children learn about kindness with the animals being the teacher.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Animals at Play, Rules of the Game. And what it is, it's a kid's book showing how animals play fairly, how they negotiate their agreements and disagreements, on how, you know, they really are concerned about being nice to other animals when they play. And I do a lot of kids events as part of Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots program, and it's just so heartening to see kids learn about other animals. And I always say we need more wild play in human children, and we should let human children be the animals who they are. I mean, you know, when I grew up, oh, I got scratched. Sometimes I fell off a swing or, you know, something happened when I was playing. But now, at least in the States, but I think it's kind of throughout the world, especially in the West, you know, we've got all these strictures, you know, more time in front of computers. Oh, you don't want Mary or Johnny to play in the playground because they may, you know, they may fall off a seesaw or a swing, or they may, you know, push one another down. And I gave a talk at an International Play Association meeting in Wales 2 years ago, and I loved the slogan from, it's a group called Play Wales. It says, better a broken bone than a broken spirit. I love that.
Wow. And what was the name of that again?
It was called the International Play Association, IPA, They get 500 people a year at their meetings from over 50 countries. I also learned something that was really disappointing, that the United States and Somalia are the only two countries in the world who didn't sign on to the United Nations Declaration for the Rights of Children.
Oh.
Think of that. I mean, really, I wrote letters to President Obama, Clinton. I mean, really, the United States and Somalia are the only two countries who did not co-sign the UN Declaration on the Rights of the Child. It makes me sad. It makes me ill. So one of my tasks, if you will, was, as you said in the lead-in, was to show people how we can learn all these gifts from animals about kindness, compassion, friendship, trust, honesty. Yeah, peace.
They're incredible teachers. I was watching the Shelter Me, and they had a beautiful vignette about a dog who was a shelter dog, had lived a very, very difficult life, was finally adopted by his forever family, and went on to be a service dog and helped so, so many people. And I love to see the programs that are opening up around the world that provide these animals the opportunity to do their work. And, I know that having been in pet therapy or animal-assisted therapy for so long, I really get now the benefit. Even animals that are being used in helping in reading programs. I read a great article about a dog and a cat who go into a school and assist children who have autism with reading, and amazingly these children are able to read to the class in the presence of the dog or the cat, and if the animal isn't there, the reading stops. So I know that they have an incredible ability to provide a safe place for people to also share their gifts with the world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my prisoners have had very close relationships with their companions, usually dogs, but cats. One had a monkey, hamsters, guinea pigs, chinchillas. And one of the things they always say is that, or the two words that always come out, is that their animals did not judge them and they felt trusted by them. And that's exactly what I hear from kids, and that's exactly what I heard from some of the veterans. The dogs are not judging them. They don't care if they have green hair or yellow hair or black hair or no hair or tattoos or whether they're fat, skinny, or in between. They are really playing off the emotion. And I love this non-judgmental attitude that these animals can teach us. And once again, especially teach kids, because like I said, the future of the world is in the hands of the kids.
Absolutely. I'm just going to give out your website before we continue here, because, Mark, there may be people who are wanting to jump on the website right now and learn more about the new book, Why Dogs Hump and Bees Get Depressed, The Fascinating Science of Animal Intelligence, Emotions, Friendship, and Conservation. We're talking to the author of many books. This is his most recent, Dr. Mark Beckhoff, and he's also the author of The Emotional Lives of Animals, and his website is drmarkbeckhoff.com. Mark is spelled M-A-R-K. Beckhoff is B-E-C-K.
No.
Oh, M-A-R-C, sorry.
Yeah. M-A-R-C. So it's not Dr. Mark. Yeah, it's not Dr. Mark Beckhoff.
Mark.
Yeah, that's okay. My website is simply markbeckhoff.com, M-A-R-C-B-E-K-O-F-F.com.
Awesome. Thank you for catching that. Markbeckhoff.com. So, Mark, when you've written this book, it's just come out, it's got great reviews. It's available on Amazon, by the way, folks, and also through Mark's website. What is it that you want people to really take away after reading the book, watching your videos, reading the incredible articles that you write for Psychology Today, among many other venues? What's your message you really want people to take away?
Well, the message I want people to take away is that we should have hope and we should keep our dreams alive. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in the world that we don't like, both, for non-human animals and human animals, but there's so many people throughout the world. I travel a lot. I meet these wonderful people who are working selflessly to help their animals and humans. And this whole movement about compassionate conservation, in fact, stresses that the lives of individual animals matter, and that human animals really, really matter too. So it's not one of these moves where, you know, humans are cheapened or lessened, because
right.
in the real world, we're going to have to exist peacefully with other animals and other humans. And so
yeah.
there's just so much going on, and I really try to convey that I'm not blind to the horrific things that happen. I'm a realist. But if we concentrate on the positive, I always like to say we should be positive, polite, proactive, and passionate. And,
oh, I like that.
Yeah, I think in this new book I have coming out, I have what's called the 8 P's of rewilding. But, you know, we just don't get anywhere by yelling at people. We don't get anywhere by demeaning people with whom we disagree. So I think we should just give it up and just accept the fact that people are going to have different agendas, but that we all have a common goal. And they used to say, you know, there's many roads lead to Rome, and there are. And so that would be my main message, is we really need to change our ways. I like to say, as we rewild our hearts, we'll have this paradigm shift,
yeah.
and that we really need to change our ways, because I'm not being a prophet of doom saying that, you know, things are not good and they need to get better, because our behavior is not sustainable. We're losing mm-hmm. species at an incredibly unprecedented rate. We're losing habitats. But in some ways, we're also losing ourselves.
Mm. An important message by Mark Beckhoff. We're talking today to markbeckhoff.com is the website, and his book is Why Dogs Hump and Bees Get Depressed, a powerful message about the important role that animals play in our life. And I'm really a believer of when we work together, we really can make a difference. And Mark's book provides us so much information to understand what we can learn from animals, the gifts that they give us, and what we can do to make a difference in the world and save more lives as we do that. Mark, thank you so much for writing this book and presenting this information in such a way that people can really relate to this. When I was watching your videos, reading your articles, that was one of the things I really appreciated, Mark, about your writing style, is it not only captivated me, but it was so easy to understand. And you said in the beginning of the interview that it was written for lay people too, and I appreciate bringing the science to us in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, well, thank you, Charlene. I mean, that's where the difference is going to be made. You know, I mean, scientists make a difference, but I always say we don't need more science to know about the destruction we've done, and we don't need more science to better the situation. What we really need are people out there just making a difference, showing kids how to live in the world, and working together. We really need this sort of umbrella of kindness
yes.
that will, you know, basically, I like to say, will envelop everyone. And I don't mean that in some little wishy-washy way, but we are changing. I promise you we're changing. When I meet kids in India and China and in Europe and South America, Australia, or around the United States and Canada, it just warms my heart. So we got to be positive. We should concentrate on what works, not what doesn't work, and we got to move on.
Love that message. Mark, thank you so much for being on Positive Radio today and for the important work you're doing to make a difference.
Thank you very much.
You know, I really enjoyed Mark's comments when he was talking about the importance of being, how animals are non-judgmental, and the importance of compassion, and that animals matter. And what would happen if we thought about that in our workplaces and communities? A lot of the workplaces that I get the opportunity to go into as a professional speaker, a corporate trainer, and a consultant that helps build healthy teams in workplaces, I get to see the opposite of what Mark is suggesting to be so important. I go into workplaces and I see high levels of judgment, where people are not accepting one another, not accepting each other's differences in their working styles and personalities, and where there's a lack of compassion and forgiveness, and where sometimes people don't project the importance of how everyone's role does matter and makes a big difference in the outcome and the goals of that particular organization or team. So wouldn't it be great if we take Mark's approach and really focus on an organization, an atmosphere at work that is non-judgmental, compassionate, and that people and the rules all matter. I think we could really create a productive team for this 2014 year. You know, I also know that having the opportunity to work and volunteer with our dog Toby in organizations, businesses, corporate events, and even schools, there's an incredible lesson that happens when we bring animals into teaching. And we saw this all the time going into school programs. We're just launching right now, actually, our BARC program. And BARC stands for, in our world, Be Accepting, Respectful, Kind. And that is the mission of Team Toby. So we're very excited in this new year to be launching our BARC Don't Bite program, which is all about helping children learn how to be a buddy, not a bully or a bystander. And what Mark talked about today, creating those relationships that are free of judgment, that are compassionate, and where people really do matter, that's the basis of our program. And I really think that Mark was right on when he talked about when those qualities happen, we can exist. We can live together and work together in a peaceful way. Now, one of the other elements I really enjoyed was when Mark talked about the four Ps, and actually his book talks about more of them, and I jotted down some notes as I was listening. He talked about the importance of positive, passion, polite, and he also talked about the importance of really, really being proactive. And again, great qualities to take into the workplace. I'll give you an example of actually how we applied some of those recently with Toby. Christopher, my husband, is teaching Toby how to ski jour. So you got to imagine the snow where we live right now is almost knee deep. He loves it. He just runs through the snow and snow plows. And then, of course, he hides his Kong under the snow and dives on it. It's just hysterical to watch. We've been filming everything on video. And Chris is teaching Toby to skijore. And skijoring is basically Christopher cross-country skiing. And there's a harness, sort of like a dog sled contraption, and Toby gets to run in front and the two of them ski together. Now, we're having to teach Toby some new commands. I even have a hard time getting them straight. And so he's learning G and Ha, which are the directional commands to turn left and to right and to go straight on. And yesterday they went out for a ski and Chris came back and he said, you know, Charmaine, this was the best skijoring we've ever had. And I said, what made it great? And I was watching them and just saw how focused Toby seemed to be. He was just on course and just seemed to be doing everything that needed to happen. And Chris said, well, you know, we changed a couple things up. We picked a different track to go on. And he said, I think today he got it because he enjoyed it. And he sort of got the commands. It all kind of clicked. And that's been so fun for us, learning from Toby as he learns something new. His eyes go bright and wide, and he, you can see him processing this new learning, and then he gets it, and then he's excited. And that's one of the things I love working with organizations, with leaders, with teams, is watching them grasp a new skill or a new concept that can really help their personal or professional development, and then watching what happens in the organization, in that team, when it starts to gel for people, when it starts to really click in and become part of their skill set. We're at that time right now where the new year is here. 2014 is here. I sure hope it's going to be your best year yet. And you know, over at Team Toby, we love to put out a challenge to people. So my challenge to all of you is to think about what's going to be different in this year for you, either personally or in the workplace. What are something that you're going to leave behind in 2014? What is something that you're going to bring forward from the past year, something that worked for you? I'm not sure if I call them resolutions or maybe I call them commitments, but what's your commitment for 2014? Until next time, I'm wishing you a great start to the new year. You can follow us on Team Toby's webpage, which is The Original Team Toby. And, of course, Toby is T-O-B-Y, TheOriginalTeamToby.com. On Facebook, our handle is TheOriginalTeamToby.com, or on Facebook. And then Twitter is Team Toby, the number 2. Of course, we'd love to hear your stories about how animals have impacted your life, the lessons you've learned, and we sure hope you're going to stay in touch with us when we start our new tour, which you'll be hearing about soon. Hope to see you in one of the classrooms. if you've got a classroom that you would like to invite Toby in, doesn't matter where you live in the world, with technology, Toby's able to join your classroom and teach children about the importance of kindness, acceptance, and respect. And we can join you by Google Hangouts or by Skype. You can just contact us through Toby's website. That's right, folks. The dog has his own website, and it's theoriginalteamtoby.com. Thank you all for being such loyal listeners. I love being here on Positive Radio. We had a great guest tonight, Mark Beckhoff. Love the work he's doing. Can't wait to read more of his books and really follow the work he's doing on kindness and compassion. Have a great week. We're back here, same Toby time, same Toby place. And until next time, let's be kind to one another.